Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The specialists are back, and we are today recapping episode number 3 of House of Villains. Blake, we did get a new cast member.
New villain.
I got to get the words right, right? New villain, new something. You were right.
Villain plus one.
I didn't think that it was going to be anybody. I thought that this was like a fake out and that it was just going to be a, oh, look, like we want to have a person, you know, who's going to come and teach you something the way Janice did in this first episode. And instead it ends up being that Larsa Pippen is now on the show. How do you feel about Larsa Pippen being on the show?
One of my favorite people in reality TV history. Love her. No, I am like, okay. One thing I was kind of weirded about for season one, I think I wrote this in my visual essay, so it was, I said it out loud, was the pacing is off on this show. So adding an 11th contestant is like, oh, what are we going to do about the pacing? Oh, no. And I do think that once again, I don't know if you were just listening 15 seconds ago, but like men versus women is very important in this game now too. And like all the men going like, okay, we got a girl out. And then it immediately comes back because we got all of the negatives of getting a girl out, but without the positive actually getting the girl out. So now it's like they all three go up at the end of the show. And then a fourth one goes up secret. Is just like, wow, our pacing is off. And now our villains are going to play scared maybe because they don't know if we vote out a guy, will there be a guy replacement villain? Or like, I think what's interesting though, is like, do you guys really like the 10 where it's somebody like this math doesn't even work of a supervillain. Okay, yeah, it does actually. A supervillain and then two nominees means there's 7 votes. And maybe that 10 structure, we like that so much, we're going to do it a couple times by like doing the circle of bringing somebody in when somebody gets eliminated.
I mean, that's a lot of nothing. But the whole idea of doing just 10 people never felt like it made that much sense in the first place.
Right.
So many of these episodes end with people still in the game. Like without somebody getting eliminated, like tonight's episode, nobody got eliminated, or last night's episode, whatever it technically is. Nobody was eliminated from that game. So because nobody was eliminated from that game, I do feel like they could mess around with the format a little bit more to allow for more eliminations. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like why not have your episodes end with people going home every time? There's nothing I hate more in reality TV than when somebody gets brought in midway through. I thought it was stupid when Kate came into the Traders last season, like more than halfway through the game. I think it's a stupid twist. I don't think it works. I don't think it needs to be in a show, especially one where the whole point is like to eliminate people to win. Why are we bringing people in after the first couple days or something just for the sake of it? So I think that's dumb.
Well, we can have a fight about beds again. Like, we already had a fight about bed. We already had, I'm going to be the bigger person. And we already, it's the same fight from the opening episode is now the fight in episode 3. And I don't know if, here's one thing, not behind the curtain, because I'm not asking Phil about this. I'm not asking Will anything. But, like, part of me is, like, when you're shooting for, this is the 14 hours we shot. Mm-hmm. Let's hope we can put an episode together. If the only thing they fight about is beds and like the golf thing, you're like, it's not my favorite thing, but it's literally all we have because our shoot days are like that. That's why they're not eliminating somebody every day, because it's a smaller shoot. We're just dragging the episodes out to make it make sense somehow. Not saying dragging out, but like it is. It is interesting that we're going to watch 2 hours of content before somebody goes home on Camilla's reign.
Camilla.
I thought it was Camilla, but whenever I was watching, I'm like, is 2x speed making me
Camilla? No, it's Camilla.
Just kidding. I only did 2x speed for the end. It was interesting, too, because she seemed like, I'm going to play a super strong strategic game to make sure I make it to the end. I'm going to be your for sure winner. And then she immediately blows up everything. And you're like, was I supposed to see this coming from your bad girl season? Like, just because I'm not really familiar with her. Like, I don't even know how to say her name correctly. But like, it is something where you're like, if I had watched your Bad Girls Club season, would I go, don't trust that girl? Like, she's going to fuck you guys over.
I mean, here's what's funny about House of Villains to me. House of Villains, more so than other game shows, because this is a game show, right? Like, it's a reality TV game show. You are trying to eliminate people week after week so that you are the last remaining one. This isn't a Bravo Housewives type show where it's like, yay, we all just live. Like, isn't that so much fun? Like, you are actually eliminating people. What I think is very funny about this show is that it's all manufactured drama. Like, all of it is manufactured drama. Like, we just did the digging deeper for Survivor right before this, for 47. And it's like, when you're watching Survivor, there is stuff that production will do to manufacture drama. There are not fake arguments, but there are people who will like push people's buttons a little bit to create drama. But the entire premise of House of Villains is you all need to piss each other off. Like, if you don't piss each other off, then we have nothing to show. And you're even seeing it, and I don't, I mean, look, I've never sat on either side of the camera here, but you're even seeing it in the broken fourth wall from the producers here, where the producers will ask a question, they'll get a really good soundbite from somebody, and then they ask another question that tries to push that a little bit further to make them mad so they can get that good soundbite of drama, 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 because they're not putting in confessionals that aren't over-the-top drama. Which, like, again, that's fine. That's what this show is. But every single moment of this show is manufactured drama. Like, I feel like, too, people like New York and you know, I don't really think Candy so much, but, like, New York especially. I know how I'm going to get my screen time. Like, Victoria, she knows how she's going to get her screen time. If you say cock enough times, they have to give you screen time. Like, how many takes did it take for her to say the one about the small cock in her hand? Like, how many takes did that take? Like 14, 15? There's no way that was the first try. And like, I'm fine with it because it's fun. And they acknowledge that they're doing things in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 takes. But at the same time, it's like you said, when Camilla makes her decision at the end of this episode, it's like, what did that, like, I don't know. Like, what did that matter? Right. Cody Duffy says, just came across this, Team Pex.
Team Pex, let's go. Pectacular.
Pex is in danger.
We can go. I was like, is Pectacular in his...
That's why I made it bigger.
I was like, oh, shoot. Like,
is that Pectacular?
I think the other thing, too, about this is... this is where we can have fun. So let's have the most fun possible. Because... there's not a lot of people watching this in the grand scheme of things, but it is like the best show that's premiered for E! In 5 years. Mm-hmm. So like, yes, we got a season 2. I think the idea of like, is Rich going to be out for 50 because he did this? It's like, that's not what we're thinking about. Like, this is all accoutrement that's added to this. What did I like about the episode? Here's what I liked about the episode. I love the challenge was so bad. The challenge was so bad. What the heck? What's funny is I don't know if you've ever seen
Will's about to call you up and beat you up.
The genius. I mean, it was literally like, I'm about to compliment, but also not compliment at the same time. The challenge was literally, we're just picking people. Mm-hmm. So there was no like, but the song choice gives somebody a tiebreaker, or there's somebody else. Wes is infinitely better than Bananas. So Wes is fine.
Everybody's wondering why Blake just got sidetracked. It's because Cody said, does Wes get on anyone else's nerves? Yeah. So that's where Blake came from. But go ahead. Finish your point.
I was hoping for like, oh, there's some kind of twist in this ballroom thing. And the twist is like, now it's two groups of four. And you're like, okay, that's not a twist. Oh, okay. I was hoping there would be something different, or like maybe a tiebreaker thing, or like, Camilla just backstabbed Rich is like the cool thing that happened. The challenge was not like, it wasn't even like whoever has the best costume does. There was nothing else besides we're just picking things, which the genius has challenges like that where it's, you're going to pick groups based on highly complicated math problems, and like there's tiebreakers all around, and that is some of the most thrilling TV to watch. So it was interesting that it was like, oh, we're kind of touching on a genius type level thing, but we're dumbing it down so freaking dumb that like Teresa knows how to play this game. Like,
I mean, I know, like, Will loves the genius. This is the thing that I didn't like. This is what Rico Watson says here. I didn't like that people were able to kick people out of groups or give up their spots. I agree with that. Like, early on, if it's like, okay, it's three groups of three, run over to a group. And once that's formed into a group of three, that should be it. If you're one of the people who's standing there and don't have it, it's like, because it's like, we're going to kick Safari out of our group. It's like, I don't want to get kicked out of the group. I disagree. I'm in the group. How about we kick you out of the group? And that was one thing that I thought was weird, is that there really wasn't pushback from the players who were being kicked out of the groups. Like, why didn't Safari say, no, I'm good, I'm going to stay? Because also, if this is House of Villains, be confrontational about that. What are you just being a pushover for?
Right.
Like that was the silly part to me. Look, I get like they did the masquerade in season one and stuff like that. Like they try to like make them somewhat fun to look at, but like the dance aspect of this, I don't really understand what the point was. That was kind of my biggest question mark. And then it did just feel like, oh, okay. So now they're just going to pick. Essentially they could have just started the challenge and they could have said, who does everybody want to be that the supervillain? Okay. Yeah. Whoever gets the most votes will be supervillain. It would have been Camilla. like there was nothing that really came out of the challenge and it wasn't visual enough. And there wasn't any confrontation that came out of it with the exception of New York and Hatch, which like, Hatch knows to lean into it a little bit, but everything New York does on the show, and it felt like this to me in season one too, it feels like it's, again, just so manufactured. It's so fake, and good for New York. She knows how to get her screen time. She's been doing this a long time. There's a reason they're probably giving her huge appearance fees for coming back.
House of Villains 3 will have New York.
Like, yeah.
She's good for her. She's going to be on the show till she wins.
But it's nonsense.
It's great. Yeah. Like I'll watch every time for New York. I just needed, like, if you were like, this is my new board game idea, you're going to get 10 people and you're going to get down to one. They'd be like, seems pretty half baked. Like what kind of stop gaps do you have? Or like, is there a power that people can use? And it's like, nope, just disco themed. And you're like, oh, okay. That sounds not great.
I know.
Did you like Topgolf?
I thought Topgolf was fun. I mean, Topgolf, the thing is like when they go on the rewards and stuff, I like that. It's just a way to get people to go and interact and like, you know, kind of talk. I think again, the problem that House of Villains season two is running into that House of Villains season one didn't run into, and I think it's becoming very evident right away, is that House of Villains season two, everybody came in with an agenda of how am I going to get mine? Meaning my screen time. Like, how am I going to be the star of the episode when I have a chance to be the star of the
season
episode?
Omarosa's just crazy. Like,
it's yeah, fine. Exactly. But like, we're seeing it here where like Camilla is totally normal. She's going to win this game. Oh. Every confessional has been so basic. Then she becomes the supervillain and it's like, whoa, totally different version of her. And she picked Hatch for the funny, like for the meme. Like that was it. Like there was really no strategic reason to picking Hatch there.
And so, Victoria's just wearing lingerie in the back. Like,
yeah,
and I'm the slutty one.
And like, yeah, it kind of has a BoJack Horseman feel to it. Right. Like it really does have a BoJack Horseman feel where like every character does their thing. But
Joel
it's
McHale's
like,
creeping in like he's doing breakdancing for Australia to put the cock block in the fridge.
Like. Cock blocker. But yes. Like, so for me, I think when they go and they try to do these things where you're going to interact and who picked who to come with you and blah, blah, blah. The problem is no matter what Hatch does, even if Hatch isn't over the top confrontational, she's probably still going to pick either Hatch or Candy to be sent into, you know, whatever the hell it's called.
She wanted all dudes. Yeah. I think the other thing that I'm like so interested in is like, the idea of like, do I want to go on the excursion? Like, yes, I get out of the house. Yes, I get to eat Top Golf food. So good. But like,
I love Top Golf food.
Yeah, it's so bussin'.
I love it.
Did you get the squirtable donuts where you put the chocolate or the vanilla in? That was good. At Steven's birthday party. You remember Steven? It was like, what I'm trying to say is, because when you're not on the excursion, you're doing all of your confessionals for the day when you're back home at like, we can't film anything that you guys are doing because we don't have some of the cast. So it's like free time or like you're going to be put to work by doing your confessionals about the challenge and the fight that you had earlier. Like, not to peel back the curtain that much about it, but I don't think they did a week of confessionals after the whole show was over, like challenge may do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know whether you want to go or not. I don't know. I don't know if it really makes much of a
difference.
The
meta is confusing us.
The meta is confusing.
I would just shut up for the first 5 weeks. Cause
that's what Johnny Fairplay did. And look how good Johnny Fairplay did last season.
Yeah. He almost won.
Yeah.
Cause who won? What was her name again?
I
forgot her name.
Tanisha? Yeah.
She, it did feel like she did not really participate for the first like three eliminations at all.
Her and Fairplay didn't do anything in the beginning portion of that game, and they are what, two of the final four or final three? Yeah, what place Fairplay officially gets, but
I think it got fourth.
Was he fourth?
Yeah, because there was a 90 Day Fiance and Johnny Bananas.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because Anfisa is technically in the final three with them. Yeah.
So ready for my actual, this is the funniest thing I'm going to say right now.
I hope it's funny. You built it up.
I think there was 11 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, plus my face for the 11th. Larsa and Larissa's names are too close to each other. So there's no way
that that's the actual.
That reason. Is why they paid for 11 people to come on and were like, oh my god, Larsa and Larissa's names are too close for any.
So you think people. Larsa was getting put on this show as soon as Larissa was eliminated, no matter what?
Yep,
that's ridiculous. And they knew
Larissa would probably go very quickly.
There is no way that happened. Because if Larissa goes to like final five, then what, Larsa's just chilling?
Larsa's chilling in the back the whole time.
There's no way, dude. Absolutely not. Oh, I don't believe you.
That's a funny thing of like, who's Mr. Pegtac? Like, I don't know. Rich? There's a new Rich or something that comes in. I can't wait.
How do you feel about Pegtacular, Rich, and Safari being the three who are up?
When they're motivated, I obviously Rich is going to be up for elimination because like Mr. Pegtacular, when he's motivated, he was never really a challenge beast on either of his seasons of Big Brother. Mm-hmm. But I think he's like, if there's some money incentive or if it's like, I already got my appearance fee, goodbye. Like, I, not that he's in it for the money, but like, it doesn't feel like Mr. Pegtacular has set himself apart at all so far. So maybe this is the like first time of like, okay, I could win this challenge and get mine, quote unquote, when we're all trying to get mine. Safari is angry. Safari already won a challenge.
Safari.
But... Huh?
It's just Safari.
Safari?
Yeah.
Safari. I thought it was Safari.
No, it's just Safari.
Oh my God.
Blake.
Safari is... Is that from the other...
I think Safari is a word you just decided to make up.
No, it's somebody from a season of like Charm School. And that's who, if they replace Safari with Safari, then I'd be like, let's freaking go. Mm-hmm. Okay, my bad. I think Safari. you're saying it.
It's just Safari. Freaking...
No, let's go back. Let's go back. Safari.
S-A-F-A-R-E.
It's Safari, right? Is there a way I can click a button that tells me how to pronounce this?
Dude, it's Safari.
Safari. Oh, I think that's what I was saying. Yeah. So anyway, I think he will win, and then it'll be Pegtacular versus Rich, and like Pegtacular's probably toast.
Because you think Pegtacular? You think that they'll vote Pegtacular out over Rich? I think they'll vote Rich out.
I mean, how many people are like, I can't wait for Pegtacular to come back and be on my side?
I just think people would rather Rich go because they feel like Rich is more of a strategist and is like more annoying and stuff.
Right.
I mean, they vote Rich out. I think Rich is doomed.
It'll be like, are you really on Team New York or not? Like,
yeah, this will be a very hard show to podcast if Rich goes out episode 4. I'm going to be struggling through because I have enjoyed him. I do think he's still got the TV sense for sure. You know, that's just how I feel about that.
Yeah, I miss Rich, man.
So it was supposed to be Wes over Pegtacular.
Wes and then is the, bulletproof.
The like, knock blocker was used.
I think it's almost unfair to have challenge people on because I don't know if you guys play online reality games at home, but like some of these people have never had this kind of bone in your body. So like online reality games, when you're on your 70th one because you're obsessed, you have 69 previous like, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen. Wes has been on so many freaking backstab shows.
Yeah,
that like, he didn't even know that there would be a cock blocker, but he gets the benefit of that because he was setting himself up to be the most connected person. Even if I get betrayed by somebody doing some weird ass thing, I'll be fine. And it already paid off. And he gets to have his confessional of my dividends talking to, and you're like, okay, like, people are not stock options, Wes. I know you're a finance guy now, but like, let's figure out some other words to say. But it was just like, Victoria, why has she saved Wes out of those three? Could she have saved the knock blocker for a little bit longer, or is it a one-time use? Like, obviously that is not explained to anybody, but like, is her number one Wes, or is she just like, oh, it'd be nice to have Wes be in debt to me?
I think the knock blocker had to be used at this one. I think that it did tell her that she had to use it at the next whatever ceremony thing. I wonder if she told anybody about it. It doesn't look like she did, but I do wonder if, like, yeah, Rico says it was one time. I'm sure she said that when she read it. I really do believe that too. But I agree. I think like Wes and Bananas and like, yeah, like they're just like, they've played these types of games so much. And there is a level, the challenge is different than Survivor. Because the challenge is also a show where a lot of the personalities that you're getting are bigger reality TV personalities. Like Survivor is very much a show where there is the social construct and there is the, you know, the backstabbing and all that. But how many Survivor players really go on to be huge TV personalities? It's not many. And in the new era, it's pretty much none. Whereas a show like The Challenge, it's like, okay, what other spinoff can we put you on? Like MTV has different personalities than what CBS is putting on. And right now, for a show like House of Villains, the MTV personality works. So Wes knows how to work with those types of personalities better than Hatch does. And I think he knows how to work with it better than Safari does. And so
Wes has had people screaming in his face multiple times.
Yeah.
Rich has just had Sue.
Exactly. And so for me, it's like, I think that everybody on this season is bringing it in some way, shape, or form. I just think that it's going to be a bummer. I think Rich is going to go, and I think that's going to suck. But I do agree with you. Like, Wes right now, how does Wes go home? He's never going to lose in challenges to people. Like, yeah, okay, we talked about it last week. Like, is he going to win the Walk of Shame? No. But also, like, Wes is such a competitive guy. I could see him finding a way to win any of these things. You know, so yeah, he gets saved by this. Victoria saves him. It makes sense that Victoria would save him. She wasn't going to save Safari. Safari put her up for elimination, and she wasn't going to save Rich because Rich voted for her and was telling everybody he did. So it makes sense that it was Wes who was saved. But I mean, overall, I don't think the knock blocker really worked in this instance because it didn't really make a difference. It wasn't like one of Victoria's friends got put up. And so it would have been better had somebody else been thrown in there. Like, had it not been Hatch, had Camilla actually gone along with it and thrown New York in. And then Victoria says, no, I don't want it to be New York. But the other thing I'll say is, like, Larsa, what did Larsa really bring to this episode? It didn't really feel like much. So, like, I'm curious, like,
just got all this the twist. Massive amount of Larsa fans.
Yeah, you've got two twists. But like, what ultimately did we get from this episode as a whole? I don't feel like either twist really had a huge impact on the game, at least not as big of an impact in this first episode as production probably wanted.
But I'm excited to see a shocking maze. Like, I'm not trying to be negative. I think what's funny is we didn't do House of Villains 1 podcasting. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that show. I was watching it while I was on the treadmill. Just kidding. Like, but I was on a treadmill and I was laughing my ass off. It does feel like it's a binge show. It doesn't feel like it's a destination TV show. If I'm not
Saturday, it's raining. Yeah. I'm not moving show.
Yes. Because I want someone to go home and I'm have to watch another hour. Like, legitimately, I will shut up though. If the elimination for next episode is in the first 20 minutes, but I know they're going to drag out that maze because Bobby, they're not paying for Bobby Lights to come back and not drag that shit out. So if the episode ends with the elimination instead of it's halfway through, I, not that I'm out on House of Villains, it may just be let's wait a month and then watch four episodes.
Yeah, no, and I mean, like, this is not the type of show that I generally go for. I do enjoy, I mean, I am enjoying it. Like, it is, yeah, it is.
Watch the number one Survivor player of all time.
I know, it's an interesting show for sure. Like, it is funny. It's, but I do feel like the first episode, I feel like the first episode really worked. Like, we talked about it. I feel like the cast really worked together. I feel like they played off each other really well. I really enjoyed the first episode. I feel like this episode, the comedy took a back seat for the fake drama. And the fake drama doesn't really work for me. And I don't know if this type of fake drama really works for anybody, because it didn't feel like all that impactful on anything. So the comedy needs to find its way to the forefront, which, like, Candy needs to be on more screen time. Candy was barely on this. The biggest argument was Candy talking about, I'm not unpacking my stuff. I already did my shoes and everything like that. And like you said, we've already heard this argument. This has already happened. And it feels like it's okay. This is working. Let's keep it going. Camera's rolling. Let's get that on TV. I don't know. Like, for me, I that type of, like, phony baloney TV doesn't do it for me. So we'll have to see what happens moving forward. But, you know, the
you like your reality TV not phony baloney, but really bo-really?
I just like it when it's, like, normal. Like, and they can have
people had real problems to fight against.
No, like, they could have talk about stuff like that. But, like, I saw New York do this exact, like, it's like New York went upstairs and read her script from season one and said, okay, let me do the exact same thing, except I'll do it to Hatch this time instead of Bananas. Like,
Hatch, who are you voting for in the next election? Tell me right now.
It was literally the exact same thing that Bananas did, that happened with Bananas last season.
Right.
The exact same. Like, to word for word almost, except for she didn't ask him who he was voting for. Like, that was literally the only difference. But I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I don't love that.
It is interesting because we brought back New York. So New York, what do we want New York to do? The same old or something new? Mm-hmm. That's why we brought you back. I wonder what they're saying. New York is going to make it through the second elimination when she didn't last year. Mm-hmm. So maybe there will be a chance. Like, the only thing I want from New York is her to win a supervillain of the week. But yeah, if you keep doing social challenges, it's never going to happen. So let's figure out a challenge that, like, if I'm a producer and I know New York is coming back, I'm going to do, like, scream at the top of your lungs challenge or something.
Mm-hmm. Like, that'd be a good one for her. She would win.
Like that's what I want, is 1 week. Please, God, to an hour-long thing of New York is in charge and gets to do whatever the hell she wants. That's it. Now she's eliminated and we can move on. She can come back for season three and yell at somebody again.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I felt like this episode turned into the individuals over the group together. Maybe that had to do with the challenge, because the challenge in the first episode was very much like 5 versus 5. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe that helped to establish that a little bit, but I just didn't feel like this really didn't really push the needle much for me. So I'm going to watch. We'll watch next week. Now I got to make sure Hatch doesn't go home. I wish the knock blocker saved him. I don't know. That's it.
Knock his block off.
Is there anything else we missed from this episode?
I think we nailed it.
You think we covered it?
I think we put more effort into this episode than Larsa did.
Wow. Wow. You're about to get assaulted by her army of Instagram followers, and that's fine. I'll let that happen to you for the sake of views. So go ahead. Bring them out. Go ahead. I might cut that clip up so that you get all the hate and I get all the views. All right. That's it. Thank you all so much for listening. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. We'll be covering it again next week. It is on Thursday nights, not Wednesday nights. For some reason, episode one was on Wednesday and then two was on Thursday, but Thursday is the general night that things are going to move forward. So, that's it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
All right, King.